Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we update you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Astros. Find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can they find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and Instagram. They can find me at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
All right, we got a special guest, like I mentioned before, Joe Perez. Where can they find you on Twitter?
Twitter is underscore jperez22 underscore, should be.
All right, so you've had a big season. I know you traveled between three different stops this year. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. But what's been the biggest move for you this year, I guess, in terms of being successful?
Just the help that the Astros throughout the whole staff, they've helped me, whether it be defensively, offensively, any little thing that they see that's off, they're always on top of it and always telling me how to fix it.
All right. So you were recently added to the 40-man roster with the Rule 5 draft coming up. What did that mean to you that the Astros had the faith in you to protect you from the 29 other teams?
It was awesome. And it's very humbling that they had the confidence in me to be able to put me on the 40-man roster. And it's nothing changes, though. It's the same things I still have to work on, and same expectations for myself.
So, you know, moving up through the system, I know, like you said, you touched three different fields this year as far as the Astros organization is concerned, finally making it up to Corpus. In your trek through the minors after being drafted, now that you're protected, what particular coaches do you credit to finding the power that you found last season? Was that mostly a part of maturity on your part? Was it kind of growing into your body physically, or was it just feeling comfortable, or was it something a coach tapped into to help you generate more power at the plate?
I think it was had to do with a little bit of everything. I had a great hitting coach to help me throughout last instructs and in spring training, help me fix a little complications with mechanic-wise. His name is Rene Rojas. And I think it also had to do with me just getting a bunch of reps and being able to finally get back out and playing. And as you said, a little bit of maturing as well.
So I'm take me back. Let's go back and look at your draft day. I believe that you were a pitcher and when you were drafted, and then the Astros wanted you as a third baseman. First of all, where were you when you found out that you were drafted? And were you surprised at all that the Astros wanted you at third base?
I was actually, so right before the draft, I had just torn my UCL from pitching. And the Astros were always one of the teams that liked my bat more than my ability to pitch. And I was up actually with Dr. Andrews. I was getting the surgery the next morning in bed with my eyes closed when I got the call. But it was crazy.
Yeah, you know, I believe there was a player right before you that was actually taken with an injury in mind. So it's obviously not a surprise that the Astros saw something in you, even though you had the UCL issue. And you are known for your big arm. I noticed you played at third base this year and some at first base. To me, it seems with a guy with your arm strength, to be at first base, maybe underutilizing one of your tools, which is your arm. Now, I'm going to ask you a wild card question, and I'm not going to ask you to compare yourself to Shohei Ohtani, but with the rise of the two-way player, do you ever see yourself getting back to being able to pitch? Is that something that you maybe in the back of your mind go, I wonder if I could be a two-way player, or are you just focusing on the infield third base where you're at? Is that something you even thought of or lamented?
I've definitely thought about it before, like especially when he had first come around to doing both in the big leagues. But it's more of like the team wants me to do something, I'm gonna just go out and do it, whether it be playing third, first, wherever they want me to play.
So I don't think that's a really answer there, but I don't think that's really up to him. And I think that's Shohei Ohtani is kind of a special player, but I'm sure when you get up to big leagues, there's always be opportunities. Like we saw Tyler White have opportunities. Robel Garcia this year had a chance to pitch. There's always a chance to pitch. So you can always, I doubt Dusty Baker is going to still be up here when you get a chance, unless it's this year. But now that you're on a 40-man roster, you can possibly get up here this year. But what's been the biggest difference between single A in the Fayetteville versus your time in Corpus Christi? What was the biggest difference between the level of the pitching that you faced?
I'd say talent-wise, there's talent all across the whole minor leagues. It's more of just more polished players, more mature. They know what they have to go out and do. They're working on a little bit less stuff, and they're more perfecting what they already know. It was just the level of the attitude was different too. People, they knew what they were doing. So definitely.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed across the board when I interview any of the minor leaguers, whether it be Sean Dubin, Brett Kinnine, just, you know, Jake Myers, is they all talk about the way that the Astros front office, the Astros coaches, the way they treat the minor league players. And I know this last year, Jim Crane was the first to really take a big step in helping you guys in the minor league, saying, hey, we're going to be basically giving you guys housing, and we're going to help take some of that burden off of y'all. And Major League Baseball also is announcing concessions. What does that mean to you as a minor league player? Because when you look across the board, you know, minor league players don't make the same average salaries that the big league players do. There is quite a drop off financially. So as a player, does it help to know that the owner, Jim Crane, that the executives in baseball are really starting to come around to see that your guys' everyday life is just as important as some of these big league guys?
Oh, absolutely. It takes it, especially with the housing, it's like, it's a big burden that they've taken off our shoulders, not having to go look for housing. You go to all they want you to worry about is just going and doing the best you can on the field.
Yeah, so I know that baseball as a whole, they're taking up what the Astros are doing and making it universal. So that's good that the Astros are doing something that baseball likes. So Brett, go and tell us a little bit about DirecTV.
So DirecTV has this great streaming service. Does this sound familiar to Joe? Check this out. You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone. You've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more about DirecTV at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
Guys, thank you for making Locked On Astros podcast your first listen every day. Whether it's the YouTube version, keep on subscribing, keep on giving us a big like, and or if you're on your way to work, keep on listening to the audio version, whether it's on Apple, Odyssey, Spotify, wherever you're listening to the Locked On Astros podcast, just keep on doing it. So, Joe, I wanted to ask you, looking at your numbers from the 2021 season between three stops, which one are you the most proud of? Your 18 home runs, your 291 batting average, or your 849 OPS?
I would have to say the home runs, because it's something I wouldn't say new, but I was able to kind of spray the field, and that helped me kind of tack on a couple more there, especially at the end where I started hitting a lot to the opposite field. I would say, yeah, the 18.
You know, we saw Yordan Alvarez. We saw a lot of major leaguers coming up through the ranks learn how to hit opposite field or just start doing it and how effective it is. Because you look at a guy like Yordan Alvarez and his power, you're like, okay, he's going to right field every time because he's got such amazing bat speed, but he utilized the other part of the field. I remember when Josh Rojas was with the Astros, he said when he stopped trying to muscle the ball out of the park and just started hitting the ball where he could get the ball in the gap, his average went up. And it seems like that is a consistent instruction, not only in the minor leagues, but also in the major leagues. And I think that's great. Now, I do want to ask you about this. I noticed that you had some defensive struggles in Corpus this year. And as a third baseman, because it is the hot corner, it is not the easiest position to man, especially the higher ranks you get, the better the hitters are, the harder the ball is coming to you. What are some things that you're working on this offseason? What are some adjustments you're making to keep you on the fast track, to keep you, you know, just like full steam? My goal is to get to Minute Maid Park one day. What are you doing right now working on that?
A lot of just like softening up the hands a little bit, working on transfer kind of drills. Big thing for me this year was having a tough time like reading, knowing which hop to come and get or which one to stay back on. And that's just all stuff that a lot of the coaches they've sent me drills and stuff that they want me to work on. And that's what I'm doing for this offseason mainly.
And I can imagine going from three different fields that has to be something that plays into, like, you know, making that transition. It's not that simple, right? They're like, oh, they're pros. They shouldn't make mistakes. But when you're going from field to field to field, like you did in one season, there's definitely, I guess, some fine tuning that always has to go on each time you change because the line of sight's different. We even saw it with the Astros in the World Series. Just like with batting, you know, they didn't get to take BP in those first two games in Atlanta. They had never hit in Atlanta. That's a huge advantage for the Braves there. So I just want to kind of point that out to those listening because, you know, we all assume that you guys got it all together and you're perfect when you guys are human. You're just like us and you're growing and you're learning every day. Sorry, go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, so you were drafted out of high school and you had the Tommy John surgery and then you were drafted by the Astros in the second round. So you had to be protected. So this is now fast forward, what, 4 years later. What has been your biggest accomplishment as a player? Just what are you most proud of so far in your professional career?
Definitely just being able to finally play a full season. Like everyone knows, the first 2 years were kind of rough for me, in and out of the training room the whole 2 years. And it was just finally being able to go out and play every day and not battle injuries the whole year. It was an awesome feeling.
So, hey, I have a question for, you know, working out. There's a lot of emphasis these days on muscle and working out and conditioning and all that stuff. Are there any goals that you have for yourself physically? Do the trainers condition it per player? Like, okay, Joe, here's your set. Shea Whitcomb, here's your set. Like, you've got certain goals that you're reaching. Are you looking to bulk up any? Are you looking to get more flexible? What are some of your goals physically to attack 2022 full steam?
Yeah, we do have a kind of a different strength program. Between players, some of them, obviously, they want them to lose weight. Some they want them to gain. Some just maintain. For this offseason, for me, it's to gain a little bit. I have like 5 more pounds to go. And definitely mobility and flexibility is the biggest thing for me to keep me on the field.
So I guess they're not talking about eating more hamburgers with you.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
They're like, put some meat on the bones, Perez.
Some good meat. Some good meat.
Maybe he needs to eat more Built Bars, Brett. What do you think about that?
You know, here's the thing, Joe. Right when you get to that weight you want and you want to maintain that weight, I need you to check out Built Bars, okay? Here's the thing. On Cyber Monday this year, Built.com is the place to aim your mouse. Get at least 20% off everything delicious and healthy. That's 20% site-wide. Even bigger discounts on Built Boost, Broth, and Built Swag. I didn't even know there was Built Swag until now. That's unbelievable. A brand new Built Bar flavor just landed in time for Cyber Monday. It's Caramel Almond Delight. It sounds like a world championship flavor there. It sounds like a World Series title for the Astros in 2022. They have caramelized chocolate. Check that out. almonds, check. That's right. Delightful. Double check and then make it yours and go get one. They're only 150 calories, 17 grams of protein. And this season, maybe you're craving white chocolate. For limited time, there's a special new Built Bar Puff flavor white chocolate cheesecake, the yummy protein treat filled with marshmallowy center covered in white chocolate, 140 calories and 17 grams of protein. Tis the season to save and give your taste buds the gift of Built Bar. So go to built.com for these incredible tasting new bars and 20% off everything. Head to built.com, enter the promo code LOCK20 before it's too late.
I would have to say, Joe, that a lot of the Astros injured players probably went to Sugarland because it's so close to Houston that a lot of rehab players, they probably went there. But did you get a chance to play with any of the veterans this year?
Yeah, Alemis Diaz played with us for 1 week when he was hurt, and Jason Castro as well played a couple games when we were in San Antonio.
So did you get a chance to learn anything from those veterans as they played there?
Yeah, definitely. Alemis playing on my side of the field, at least while he was there, whether it was in BP or in the middle of the game, he would always be telling me what he would do in certain situations and how to go about different things.
Hey, Joe, we've actually got a question. This kind of goes off of what I kind of asked you earlier, but Gio Rod wants to know if there have been any talks of you becoming a reliever or a catcher in the future. Interesting. He threw a curveball at you there. Are you a catcher and I don't know it?
No. I haven't played catcher since I was about 9 years old, but
okay.
No, I've never gotten anything about that. No.
Okay. But hey, man, the fans ask, we just deliver for them. So you came in second round, you came in hot, you kind of had your struggles, you sped up, you hit for power. What are your goals in 2022? Are your goals to get to Sugar Land? Are your goals to get to Minute Maid Park? Or do you not set goals like that for yourself? Are you just going out there, I want to be the best Joe Perez today, and then the next day I want to be better than that Joe was? How are you focusing what you want to do for this year?
I'm just putting in the work in the off season. Want to maintain the health, be able to go out and play every day. I'm not really one to set certain goals like that, but as you said, just to go out and give it my best every day and being able to adjust, whether it be defensively or offensively.
And the good thing about you, Joe, is you're 22, you still have some room to grow. And I think that you are, maybe you'll start in Corpus again next year, then go up to Sugar Land, and you have a lot of room to grow. So speaking of that, what's the last movie you watched? Ooh, just random stuff. Here comes random stuff I told you about.
Wow. I haven't watched too many movies recently, more shows than movies.
Okay.
If I can name off a show.
Sure.
Yeah.
I was actually rewatching Breaking Bad with one of my buddies the other day.
That's a good show. That's
yeah. Good, yeah. We've actually watched that twice through. We're back on Yellowstone. Are you a Yellowstone fan?
I've never watched it now.
You've never. Oh, okay. So your homework, Joe, is to watch Yellowstone. So next time we interview you, I can ask you which Dutton you think you are.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay, Mr. Corona wants to know what your GPA was in high school.
Ooh, oh, wow. That's a good question. Ooh,
dang.
When I was in school, I was on top of that. I had like, I think I graduated with like a 3.9.
Okay, nice. Yeah. What was your favorite subject? You got a math teacher here and a history teacher there.
History. I always loved history.
See? Okay. Yeah, I teach Texas history. So I don't know that you had Texas history where you're from. Probably not.
Didn't.
But hey, you know, if you ever make it to Sugar Land or if we ever make it to Corpus while you're down there, I can definitely sit down over some nachos and some good Tex-Mex, and I can teach you all about Texas history. It's an amazing this state is unreal, man. We've got so much stuff. What is your favorite holiday food, Joe?
Holiday food.
Let's just stick with Thanksgiving since we were just in Thanksgiving. What is your favorite part about Thanksgiving?
I would have to say the well, because we're more of a Latin family. The turkey that they make on Thanksgiving is not really traditional for an American household, so it's pretty good.
Okay. Guess a little spices in there and stuff like that.
A little bit, a lot of
Nice.
garlic.
Nice. So, Ted Harrington says, what was your first tattoo?
Ooh, the one on the inside of my bicep that says my mom's name on it.
Very cool. Very cool.
All right. And then Thomas Rodriguez says, what's a good seafood restaurant you'd recommend in Corpus?
Wow, I actually didn't go out to eat too much in Corpus, so I couldn't tell you the answer to that. I'm sorry.
Right, that's
It
fine.
was a lot of post game 11 o'clock Uber Eats. It's all that was open at the time.
That's cool. All righty. I had something about all these other questions kind of threw me off a little bit. What was going to ask? What was going to ask? Brett, do you have any other
I'll
questions?
ask you this. In the minor leagues, I know, I mean, I'm assuming you've faced guys that are maybe top prospects or maybe guys that have moved on or gotten the call. Are there any pitchers that stick out to you that were particularly tough to face? Whenever you got in the box with them, you're like, crap, I've got my work cut out for me.
I would have to say the Rangers org had a lot of really good pitching prospects that they any day of the week it was somebody in their top prospects that was throwing really hard, had good stuff. I believe they were Frisco. Frisco had a
Okay.
really good staff.
Yeah, definitely. So,
All right, I remembered my two questions. Let me get them out right now. What was your like most embarrassing moment on the field? And to kind of go off of that, what was the most kind of moment where you're like, did that just really happen to me? Like your most exciting moment where you can't believe it really happened?
I would have to say the most embarrassing one was actually at the beginning of the year, in Fayetteville. I forgot what was hitting, but it was a 2-2 count, and on the scoreboard it had said 3-2, and the pitcher threw a ball, and I'm sitting there walking to second base because I thought it was a walk, and everyone's just looking at me like, "Yo, what is he doing?" And I got back picked by the catcher, walking to second base. Yeah.
Okay. And what about your best moment?
Oh, the best moment would have to be I hit a home run this year in Rome in High A, where I hit the ball to right field and it hit off the right field foul pole, and I've never seen that ever in my life. Somebody going oppo and hitting the ball off a foul pole. So that was pretty cool for me.
Nice. I like it. So, Joe, when I was growing up, not that you heard many legendary stories about me, but I never hit any home runs during games. I always hit them in practice or I always hit them foul. And there was one kid, Shane Parker, that I faced from Crosby, Texas. This kid was real short, but he had this huge sweeping 12-6 curveball. And my dad said, if he throws you the 12-6 on your second strike, you need to crush it. So I crushed it and I hit it to center field. And I dropped the bat and I started to stroll to first. And I was about to throw my hands up. The ball hit the top of the fence and came back in. And I slid into second, barely made it. And my dad made me run laps after the game because I didn't get a
No
triple out of
way.
it. Yes. And I reminded him that at a Thanksgiving. He said, I didn't make you run laps. I'm like, yes, you did. I ran 8 laps around that field and we won. And I've never gotten punished for a hit other than that one because he's like, we don't celebrate home runs. We don't.
That's
So
awesome.
I've never gotten to hit a home run. So congratulations to you on that. So, Mr. Richard, who is actually from across the pond, he's from the other side of the world. He's a faithful listener. He says, who was your favorite player growing up?
My favorite player, someone who I idolized growing up, was definitely A-Rod. I just love the way he played the game.
No, yeah, he was. I mean, he had all the tools. I mean, he was smooth. I mean, at the plate with the glove, he was definitely someone to watch. Which is more humid in the summer, Corpus or your hometown in Florida?
Oof. Say they're pretty close, neck and neck. Either one, you walk outside and you're already starting to sweat, so pretty
Because
humid.
what part of Florida are you from?
I'm from Fort Lauderdale.
Okay. I actually was born in Melbourne, Florida. My dad actually grew up there in Melbourne, Florida, went to Mel High. And so real familiar with all those areas over there along the coast.
All right. Do you want to I guess we could do this last one.
Yeah.
Ted Harrington says, what's the best road ballpark to play in? I guess it could be any level.
Ooh, the best overall for me overall was Greenville. Greenville had a really nice stadium. It was basically, it looked like a big league field, kind of like a replica of the Green Monster and left. And the ball flew, so it was a hitter's ballpark. Gotta love it.
All right, so Joe, what are three things Astros fans need to know about you? They don't have to be about baseball. They can just be about you as a person.
That's a good question. I'm a big gamer on PC. So if anyone wants to hop on, let me know. I don't know, very motivated. And I expect to be able to contribute somehow in the future.
Okay. Good answers. Brett, you got anything else?
No, I just really appreciate you taking the time. I know it's the off season. I know you've got, you know, things going on, but we wanted to congratulate you. Felt like, you know, we wanted to go out there and be one of the first to get you on, and we want to welcome you back anytime. We're going to reach out to you more in the future. We wish you all the success in the world, and hopefully if we don't get to catch you in Corpus, we can catch you in Sugar Land, because it's right in our backyard.
I appreciate you guys for having me on.
And I just want to remind you that meth is bad. So don't be paying too much attention to Breaking Bad.
Oh, I was like, where did that come from? I was like, where's the meth?
I was like, wow.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. hold on. I've got a meth story now.
No, come on.
Yes. My sister just moved from a certain town in Texas. I won't say the town because I don't want to defame them. But they did a Say No to Drugs campaign, and because they had a big problem with meth, they gave out shirts to the kids. I'm not lying. It said, don't meth with drugs. I'm not even lying.
Oh my
my nieces and nephews have a shirt that says, don't meth with drugs. So
go. With that, Joe, once again, thank you for coming on the Locked On Astros podcast. You're welcome anytime, and good luck in off season, and good luck in 2022 and 2023. Hopefully we'll see you soon at Minute Maid Park. And guys, thank you for listening to Locked On Astros podcast. We'll be back later with Sean Dubin. We'll also be doing a special podcast to update y'all with all the news going around baseball and with the Astros' newest free agent signing with Hector Neris. So we'll be talking about that and more on the future Lockdown Astros podcast. And thank you for listening. And once again, we'll be seeing you later. And once again, thank you, Joe, and go Stripes.
Go Stripes.